you are a visitor and friend here at Agape Apostolic Church, we pray you feel at home. Amen. We feel that you feel welcome. Amen. We at Agape believe that there's one Lord, one faith, and one baptism. The scripture says there's one God, Father of all, above all, through all, most important, He is in us all. For that, can we say praise the Lord? Amen. We do honor the Lord. We thank Him for His goodness and mercy. Amen. We didn't do it, but we do have a new soul in the kingdom of God. Amen. Last Sunday, we baptized Sister Destiny. In Jesus' name. I keep calling her Diamond, but her real name is Destiny, so I guess I better call her by her name. Amen. But she's a Diamond Destiny. Amen. We just thank God that we baptized her in Jesus' name. Amen. Jesus says, suffer little children to come unto me and what? Forbid them not. For such is the
kingdom.
Amen. In order for you to make it to the kingdom, you got to be born again. Amen. So God honors children. God loves children. Amen. How many know as old as you are, we're still a child of God?
Amen.
As old as we are, we're still a child of God. Amen. We bless the Lord. We thank God for the testimony. Amen. You know, she prayed, she thanked God for her deliverance. Amen. We're going to pray for her again. Can we pray for her one more time? Amen. Because the Bible said if two or three of us agree on any matter on earth, the scripture said it would be what? Established in heaven. Amen. So we're going to ask one of the elders if they can go in the anoint her with oil. We're going to ask the saints. She can sit down. You don't have to stand. Amen. Anoint her with oil and then lay hands on her. We're going to ask the saints if they can stand with us. Amen. One on her and one on Mother Barbara. Where's Mother Barbara? Amen. Anybody else that needs healing, we're going to pray the prayer of healing right now.
Yes.
Amen. What did Mother Barbara leave out? Okay, amen. Anoint Mother Barbara with one of our elders and ministers to lay hands on the new sister and one to lay hands on Mother Barbara. Amen. Because the Bible said a prayer of faith.
Yes.
Amen. If any is sick, let the elders do what? Anoint them with oil and the prayer of faith will heal. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, my God, in the mighty name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you. Hallelujah. That you give us an opportunity to come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in a time of need. Lord, there's a time of need for healing. Lord, we ask you as Jehovah Rapha, our healer, Lord, to touch any condition this afternoon. Lord, move, oh God, for you are a great and a mighty physician. Lord, we ask you in the name of Jesus, as we all touch and agree, Lord, bless them. Lord, whatever ailments are going on in their body, bless them. Lord, for thy word declares that you wish above all that we should prosper and be in health, even as our soul prosper. Lord, we ask you for divine healing. Lord, spirit, soul, and body. Can we all say in Jesus' name? Amen. It's already, can we say it's already done? Turn to your neighbor and tell them if you don't want to spirit of oppression and depression don't have no place in here. Amen. Let us stand for our scripture read. Amen. I'll never come to church and be bound.
Right.
I said I won't come to church and be bound. I don't care what my circumstances are. I believe that God is faithful.
Yes.
Amen. The scripture said because God is faithful, He will never place more on us than we're able to bear. Amen. But whatever the trial or the test is, God will make a way to escape that you might be able to bear.
Right.
So God is faithful. Amen. Amen. I had a different message, but how many know it's better to be led by the Spirit than to get what you prepared? So I prepared one thing. So can the church pray with me?
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
Let's ask God something. Say, Lord. Amen. So I can't come to church and see people looking frowning and sad and down.
Right.
Amen. Because God has been too good.
Hallelujah.
And then when I watch the news and I see all the events that have taken place and the hardships and poor children being murdered and, amen, people being killed and kidnapped, amen, and I realize how good God has been to me. Jesus saved me.
Wow.
I said, Jesus,
hey.
Save me.
Yes, sir.
Ain't no way in the world. They don't say this. This is my part. Ain't no way in the world I'm going to come to church anywhere else to be bound because God has set us free. Verse 26, read. Even so, Father, so it seemed good in thy sight.
All things are delivered unto me and my Father.
Hold on, wait a minute. I don't want to read those. Go, not that part. Go to verse 28. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden,
and
I will give you rest. Once again, amen. Because I think this afternoon some of us need some rest. Hey, I think we need some peace of mind. I think we need a touch from God. Come unto me. All ye that labor and are heavy laden, he said, I will give you
rest.
Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest for your soul. For my yoke is easy. Hallelujah. Can we say hallelujah?
Hallelujah.
You know why we come to God? Because whatever God gives you, he said, my yoke. And my burden is like, Lord, we thank you this afternoon for the reading of your word. Lord, we thank you for your goodness. Lord, we thank you that you are God. And Lord, because you are God, there's no weapon formed against us as one of your children that shall prosper. But Lord, we ask you to send the word of anointing. Lord, send the spirit of deliverance. Lord, release the captive mind. Lord, you know those even now that came to church, heavy, weighed down and burdened. Lord, loose them now and set them free. Can we all say in Jesus' name? Come on, can we say in Jesus' name? Hallelujah. I heard the songwriter say, I'm running for my life. You may be seated. 28, once again, Jesus says, anybody have some problems this afternoon? You don't have to tell me, I already know the spirit you got. I can feel it when service starts. Amen. Some things that you don't know how they're going to turn out. What I like so much about God is I don't know what tomorrow holds. The reason I stay in God is because I know who holds tomorrow. I don't know, hallelujah, what the next day brings. I don't even know what the next minute brings. Lord, as long as I rest in your arms. Amen. I like in Isaiah chapter 40 when God said, I picked them up and I carried them. Anybody need God to pick you up a little while this afternoon? Anybody got some problems and need God to carry them? Whether they're physical, financial, mental, you need something for God? Lord, pick me up and carry me. Well, the Lord says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy.
Laden.
Then he says, take my
yoke.
God said, take my yoke. You know what this is? A yoke is symbolic of a beast of burden. It's symbolic of carrying something. Amen. You ever see ox or cows plowing in the field?
Yeah.
Amen. Well, the Lord is saying that, take my yoke.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. You don't have to bear this beast of burden by yourself.
Thank
you, Jesus. You do not have to carry this by yourself. He said, exchange. Can we say exchange?
Exchange.
Amen. Say it like you want God to do something for you. Can we say exchange?
Exchange,
exchange your yoke.
Exchange your yoke.
Come on, exchange your yoke.
Exchange.
And take his yoke.
Exchange.
Well, why would I want to do that? Because his yoke is.
Jesus.
His yoke is.
Jesus.
And his burden is.
Right.
Amen. If your yoke today is heavy and hard. Amen. And the burden is heavy. You need to do an exchange. Our message this afternoon is exchange your yoke. Amen. Your yoke is what you got to do. And your yoke is what you have to do by yourself. Hallelujah. But when we exchange the yoke. Hallelujah. I don't have to fight this battle. I don't have to do it by myself. Because God is fighting my battle. Can we turn to John chapter 8, verse 32? I don't have to fight this battle. Amen. I don't have to carry this heavy load. Amen. We used to sing a song, heavy load. Time to get rid of that. Come on, it's time to get rid of that. Yeah, I'm going to teach y'all some songs. Y'all don't know I'm going to have to learn. Amen. It's time to get rid of the heavy load. Amen. Well, how do I get rid of my heavy load? How do I get peace in the midst of confusion? How do I get peace when all around me is singing sand? How do I get peace when everywhere I look I see nothing but trouble? Amen. The Bible says he will keep you in perfect peace if your mind is stayed on him. Well, don't you know that? How many know the devil knows the Bible? That's why he twists it in our eyes. He knows that if you keep your mind on God and on the word of God, so he brings you trouble in the hope that you will not keep your mind on God. Amen. All that trouble coming in, but we say, well, God, I know you're there. But then we leave him out. You know what God, the devil said, I got him going. They're doing the right thing now. In the midst of their trouble, they're running from God. So they won't have peace. He knows, hallelujah. In the midst of the confusion, in the midst of not knowing the direction to take, he said, don't blink. You know, you ever hear that thought that it happens to all of us because it's just one of the devil's tactics. So, the Bible, you've been hearing that for years and nothing has changed. Amen. You've been hearing it for years and nothing has changed. In the book of Peter said that God, amen, is long-suffering. And God is not willing that any should perish. But Peter goes on to say, there shall come scoffers. That's the devil's agents. Those people in your life that tell you it's not going to change. Why go to church? What do you need God for? I can help you better than God. Those are scoffers. They come saying all things will remain the same. but not in God. God has made us a promise. But the problem is, in the midst of our confusion, in the midst of our bewilderment, in the midst of our frustration, we go away from God. And as long as we go away from God, we have no peace. And the devil said, I got to go in the right direction. I'm going to turn it up a little bit more. How do we know? Just read about Job. When you thought it couldn't get any worse, it got worse. Because the devil has but one desire. Do you think the devil wants you to go to heaven and he has no hope of hell? Amen. So when you get all those messages of discouragement, all those messages of wanting to quit, and all those messages of wanting to give up, that's an agent of the scoffer that's trying to turn your heart from God. But if you stay in God, I said, if you stay in God, you know what Jesus said? He said, if you abide in me, if you abide in me, he said, and not your friend's word, not your mother's word, not your father's word, not your grandmother's word, not your best friend's word, but if you abide in me and my word abides in you, the question that I'd like to ask this afternoon, is God's word abiding in us? Amen. He said, you can ask what you will, and I'll do it. That's God's promise. There's not a devil in hell, the dragon or his beast, can change that. Because God's word is immutable and unchangeable. Amen. Malachi 3:6 says, God changes not. God is constant. Nobody can change God because he's in control.
Thank you,
Jesus. Your peace that you're forfeiting is because you're doing everything and leaving God out. But he'll give you peace. Amen. 8:32 says, and ye shall
know the truth.
You know, what I like about God, he doesn't leave stuff ambiguous. He doesn't say you have to guess the truth. Because it's in his word. He said, and ye shall
know
the truth. Now, what the devil likes to do is he likes to get us to believe a lie, because a lie is not
true.
Come on. A lie is what?
Not true.
So he has to make us believe a lie. Because you shall know the truth, and the truth will
make you
free.
Thank you, Jesus.
So what does the devil do? He gets us caught up in a bunch of lies. Gets our mind out on a tangent. Have the wildest imagination because of the lie. He says, you know what? You know, you ever see some people, when they tell a lie, you look at them and you say, wow, do they really believe that? Amen. He said, wait, you can't possibly believe that's true. That is, wait. You know, he said, you know what, let's go get them and have one of them checkups, you know, to see the psychiatrist or something. They can't possibly believe that. Well, you know, that's what the devil does to us. He builds these big lies that is impossible to be true. You know what they say about a lie? They say, if you pull a lie, see, when you want to hide a lie, when you want someone to believe a lie, you know how to lie. You put the lie right in their face, and they'll believe it. Too many of us have been believing the lie and not believing God. Make the lie big enough and put it in their face, they'll believe a lie and reject the truth. He said, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. The reason our young people and so many people are giving up on God is because they don't want to know the truth. Amen. You know why? Because the truth says God's way. A lie says my way. I said the truth says God's way. A lie says there ain't no in betweens. Say, for you all that like to be politically correct, they are not. But for me, I'm from down south, so ain't no in between. Amen? There's a truth or it's a lie. There's no in between. Somebody said, well, I told 99.9999% truth. But I told point, 1% lie. That's a all-in lie. So what the devil does to the church, to people that know the truth, he has to twist your mind to get you to believe a lie. Because when you begin to believe a lie, you have to delve further into the lie. So the more you believe and delve into the lie, the more influence the adversary has. And then you say, well, if this is a lie, how did they know this? The devil knows. As I told you all, an elder prayed, was teaching a class. He said, you know, I used to pray in English so much, and every time I pray in English, he said, the thing I'd be praying about was beat me to death. He said, so you know what I did? I stopped praying in English. He said, I started praying in the Holy Ghost. So they said, well, Elder, why are you praying the Holy Ghost? He said, because I don't want to understand that language is God. The devil don't understand that language. So he said, now I spend more time praying in the Holy Ghost. My question to you today, if you're having problems and you've been praying in English, maybe it's time to look at this thing called the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is the written language between you and God. You can read about it in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verses 2 and 4. Verse 2 and 4, 4 for down south, but 4 for y'all that's up north. It says, amen, okay, I don't want that done. I'm gonna keep it on whatever y'all call it. Amen. But verses 2 and 4, it says that he that speaketh in an unknown tongue, which is the Holy Ghost, speaketh not unto men, but unto God. How be it in the spirit he's speaking? Because the devil and nobody else don't understand. So when I get real bad, I've been thinking that I know a thing. But I heard Paul tell the Roman church, likewise, the spirit helpeth our weaknesses. Those things that have been beating us up, those things that have been weighing us down, the spirit helpeth our weaknesses. For we know not what to pray for as we are. So if we're praying and we're messing up, it's time to get on our royal telephone. Somebody said, telephone to glory. Oh, what joy divine. When you're talking to God and you're talking right with your Holy Ghost phone, there's nothing but joy in his divine. So telephone to glory. Oh, what joy divine. Now the devil, you know what he likes to do? The reason people don't believe in the Holy Ghost is because the devil don't want you to believe in the Holy Ghost. Absolutely not. Because if you start reading the Holy Ghost, he's messed up. Amen? You start speaking in tongues and praying to God, the devil gets mad. Amen. And he gets mad, he says, you know what? I gotta break up this prayer meeting. I gotta get them to start using English because I'm confused. And I don't know what they're praying about. But Paul said, when we're praying in unknown tongue, the Spirit of God is making intercession for us according to the will of God. Then I'm not finished praying in tongue, then we know, hallelujah, that all things are working together for good. So the devil said, you know what? Hey, you keep praying in them tongues. All that good stuff is happening for you. So you know what? I'm going to make the church start praying in more English. But Paul said, I pray in tongues. Verse 33 said, they asked him, said, we be Abraham's seed and we're never in. The devil never wants you to bring the truth, believe the truth. So he said, you know, you have to tell somebody, I know I'm not what I ought to be. I got a lot of places to improve on, but I'm all right. Not all right. If you know it, Then you should do something to do what? Change. So she said, we were never in bondage anyway. Yes, you are. How sayest thou, ye shall be free? Jesus answered them, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever is a
servant,
whoever you yield yourself to, has become your master. If you yield yourself to the truth, then the truth is now your
master.
If you yield yourself to a lie, then the lie is now your
master.
Whoever you yield yourself service to, you will obey instead of God. And the servant abides not in the house forever, but the Son, Jesus, will be with us always. No one can take it away. But this next verse is what we want to focus on the most. Amen. Because we're exchanging our yokes. He said, and if the Son therefore shall
make you free,
if Jesus makes you free, ye shall be free indeed. Now the question this afternoon, we already know that when we got baptized in Jesus' name, and when we got filled with the Holy Ghost, God made us
free.
And there's no disputing that, because Jesus himself said it, he whom I have made free. The question to those of you in church, are you free? Amen. Do you serve the Lord in spirit and truth? Are you free? Or are you bound? Well, if you're bound, you're carrying your own yoke. If you're bound, if you don't have the freedom and the peace of mind, that's because you're doing too much. And the Lord said, now come unto
me,
all ye that are laboring and what? Somebody say, wait, if you knew what I was going through, if you knew what I was going through, you wouldn't be saying what you're saying. Can we turn to John chapter 11? John chapter 11, and we're going to go to verse 38 of John chapter 11. We're talking about exchanging our what? Exchanging our yokes. It's time. For those in church, or those that come to church, it's time for freedom.
Yeah.
It's time for peace of mind. Now I'm going to mellow a little bit. Some of y'all don't have no peace of mind, don't have no rest, always looking and wondering, expecting the worst. That's not God. That's not God. The Bible talks about those that are in Christ. He's going to bless us with all spiritual blessings. But the reason that we're in torment, it's because we haven't exchanged our yokes. We're trying to do what only God can do. Verse 38 reads, Jesus therefore again groaning in himself coming to the gate. The reason the Lord was groaning like for the sake of time is he couldn't get them to fight the unbelief. Unbelief causes God to be grieved. God groans, amen, because of our unbelief. So he cometh to the grave, cave, and a stone lay upon it. Jesus said, take ye. He said, I can't do anything until you remove that stone of unbelief. Amen. The Bible said, without faith, it is impossible. I don't care what you talk, a walk, a show, if you don't have faith, it's impossible to please God. Somebody said, well, why do I keep going through this over and over? Because God is trying to show you faith is not where it needs to be. So because your faith is not where it needs to be, I want you to please me. So I'm going to allow a little more trouble to come. And he said, because I'm God, I'm just giving you a light burden. Because I want your faith to be where it should be. Because you're not pleasing me. So I thought about that. God would have changed it. He would have changed it. But your faith is not on the level where God wants it. So since your faith is not where God wants it, he allows just a Now, he won't allow enough trouble to come to overthrow you because he's faithful. And he won't put upon you that you ain't able to bear. But our lives are not in spiritual harmony to please God. And because we don't believe God and we doubt, God said, I got to give him enough trouble to come to me. All of our hardships and burdens are intended for us to come to God. And because we had gone so far, God said, I cannot allow them to stay where they are. So I'm going to give you permission, Satan, to test them a little more, just like he did Job. But he gives him limitations. Amen. He gives him barriers. He gives him areas where he will not let him exceed to overthrow you. Because he's trying to encourage your faith. So he said, take ye away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, said unto him, Lord, by this time he's stinking, for he's been dead. I thought we used this illustration. Any of y'all dead? I don't think so. Amen. Anybody out here dead? If you're dead, stand up. I figure you'd be like that, right? If you're dead, stand up. Come on, anybody out here dead, stand up. So that means your situation is not like this one's. Amen? Because I don't see nobody standing up. I took the worst case scenario to show you how mighty our God is. When you approach God through faith, there's nothing that God cannot do. When we roll away the stone of unbelief, praying for loved ones, things haven't changed. Prayer never fails. Because the Bible says God will not mock prayer. And that God's ears are open to the prayers of the righteous. Sometimes we cry, we wail before God. God, why won't it change? Righteous means I'm in right standing with God. I don't try to please another individual. I want to be righteous, so I do all that I can to show my Father that I'm pleasing Him. That is righteous. I've been praying and praying and it has not changed. Now it's time to do an inner inspection. Amen. Lord, is my life in line? Am I obedient to your word? Do I accept most of your word? But there are some areas I can't stomach that. That's a lie. We have to believe God. Amen? Amen. Jesus said unto her, I said thou not unto thee that if thou wouldest, why don't I see God's glory? Why don't we see God moving in our circumstances? Why isn't the yoke being exchanged? Said I not unto thee that thou wouldest. We don't see God's glory because we don't. We talk faith, but we do not walk faith. We don't believe. Amen. We can get up in a praise church and testify, but down in our hearts, we really don't believe. I like the man who brought his son to Jesus. He was possessed by a spirit, a deaf and a dumb spirit. The Lord told me, say, if thou can believe, all things are possible unto him that believe. The man was honest, thank God. He said, well, Lord, I believe. But he had an injunction there. He said, but help thou. He was honest. Most of us are honest with God. We know there's some reservation in our mind that won't let us believe. Amen. Praying about the same thing and it has not changed. If you pray in God's will and your life is in harmony, God will change it. Amen. So he said, you will see the glory of God. Then they took away the stone from the place. Notice Jesus did not do anything until the stone of unbelief was what? He didn't do anything until the stone of unbelief was taken away. And then when the stone was taken away, Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me.
Amen.
And I knew that all thou hearest me.
Always.
God always hears every prayer. It's not a prayer that you pray that God doesn't hear. He heard it always. He said, but because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may
believe.
God has allowed all of these hardships and trouble in your life, not for you to give up and quit. He's trying to increase your faith so that you will
believe
that thou hast sent me. And when he thus had spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. Hallelujah. Can we say hallelujah? Notice the Lord didn't just say come forth. If he had said come forth, all every grave would have emptied. And that's what I like about God. In your dead situations, he called you by name. Hallelujah. There's a whole lot of Davids in this world. And I found out a lot, there's a whole lot of David camps. Amen. The God was telling me the other day. But when he calls this David camp, God won't mix it up. Because he called me by name. Amen. And he that was dead came forth as we all stand. Don't turn it off. Leave it there. As we all stand and the ministers come forward and the altar team. God doesn't mix us up. God does not get confused. I don't care how many have your name. God knows you personally. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes. Now God called him, but guess what? He still was not yet. Can we say free?
Free.
God called him. He came forth, but he was still bound. Amen. And the Lord said, loose him and let him go.
Amen.
You know what the problem in church is? God has set a lot of people free, but we won't loose them and let them go. Can we say loose them? And let them go. Amen. We haven't loosed them. We haven't let them go. God has done everything to set us free. Parents, got children bound. Husbands have wives bound. Wives have husbands bound. Friends have friends bound because we refuse to loose them and let them go. If Jesus has set us free, if God has, I don't care how big, I got a bad past, but I'm never going to tell you all. I got a horrible, hard past, and a lot of you do too that we don't know. But if God doesn't hold my past against me, if God tells me, hallelujah, your sins and your iniquities, I will remember. Why are we holding on to keeping them bound? So the Lord tells him, he said, now I've done my